Coming up on this episode of The Doctor's Pharmacy.
We cannot separate the biology from the psychology or the spirituality anymore. These sacred plants come from a very feminine shamanic tradition, and we're trying to use them in a very masculine, patriarchal, reductionistic environment. And they still work. They're magical. They're fantastic. But we need to know the biology behind them.
Hey, everyone. It's Dr. Mark. It's hard to overstate how important magnesium is for all aspects of our health. There is a long list of symptoms and diseases that can be treated and even cured with magnesium. In fact, way back when I was an emergency room physician, magnesium was a critical element of our care. We used it to treat all kinds of conditions from arrhythmia to constipation to preeclampsia. It's really essential to our health and well-being, and yet over 80% of the population doesn't get the magnesium they need on a regular basis. Now, this is a problem because magnesium deficiency can increase your risk of all diseases and keep you from performing optimally. But even more critically, there's not just one type of magnesium. There are seven different types that we need in our diet to ensure both our health and our vitality remain strong. I'm normally a big advocate of getting as many nutrients as you can through a well-balanced diet. But in this case, it's almost impossible to get enough magnesium intake through your food alone because our soil is so overworked and mineral depleted. Fortunately, Bioptimizers has the solution. Their magnesium breakthrough supplement is the only product on the market with all seven types of magnesium and especially formulated to reach every tissue in your body to provide maximum health benefits. Bioptimizers Magnesium Breakthrough gives you access to the full spectrum of magnesium, which can dramatically improve your overall health from reducing stress to improving sleep and boosting your energy levels. For a limited time, Bioptimizers is offering additional bonus gifts of up to $79 to the next 1,000 customers or while supplies last. Do not miss this opportunity to get the best magnesium on the market and try three of their other best-selling products. Just visit magbreakthrough.com/Hyman and enter the code Hyman10 to activate this exclusive limited-time offer. You're unique, which means your health and wellness plans should be unique too. But it can be tough to optimize your health and nutrition programs because it's often difficult to get the data you need. And even if you do get your numbers, you actually have to understand them and then be able to make meaningful action based on them. This is where Inside Trackers comes in. Inside Tracker is a wellness tracker that uses science and technology to deliver ultra-personalized healthcare guidance. They can analyze your blood, your DNA, your lifestyle habits, and then give you actionable recommendations to help you meet your health and wellness goals. They'll tell you what you need to do and why, and you can track your progress and adjust your plan based on real-time feedback from your own body. Since 2009, their science team at Harvard, Tufts, and MIT have been bringing personalized nutrition and wellness to the world with their powerful evidence-based digital platform. Inside Tracker is simple, customizable, and most importantly, it's based on you and your body. If you're curious about getting your own health program dialed in to meet your unique needs, I highly recommend checking out Inside Tracker. Right now, they're offering my community 20% off at insidetracker.com/Dr. Hyman. That's insidetracker.com/DRHYMAN. And you'll see the discount code in your cart. Welcome to the Doctor's Pharmacy. I'm Dr. Mark Hyman, and that's pharmacy with an F, a place for conversations that matter. And if you've ever heard about shamanic healing or energy medicine, if you've ever wondered about how to heal your soul, well, this conversation is for you because it's with my close friend, an extraordinary scientist, shaman, healer, someone who's healed me many times in many ways, Dr. Alberto Baldo. He's an international best-selling author who's researched the shamanic healing practices of the Amazon and Andes for over 25 years. He actually connected with the Incas who've been hiding in the mountains for 500 years and come down about 50 years ago and connected with them and learned their ancient traditions and has translated them into practical tools for all of us to heal and heal our souls and our bodies and our minds. He's really an extraordinary man. He's the founder of the Four Winds Society, an organization that's dedicated to bridging ancient shamanic traditions with modern medicine and psychology. He's been on the faculty of the University of Chicago, Columbia University in New York. And he, in fact, my daughter took a class with him at Columbia. This is kind of funny. He's a fellow of the Explorers Club, which is an extraordinary group out of out of New York City, which is, you know, like Darwin and all these people were part of. It's pretty trippy. And he's also written more books than I have, which is pretty extraordinary in itself, including Power Up Your Brain, Shaman Healer Sage, Mending the Past, Healing the Future, and Soul Retreat with Soul Retrieval, The Four Insights, Courageous Dreaming, One Spirit Medicine, and his latest book, Growing a New Body, which actually something grew out of work we did together, running retreats around the world, healing people with both functional medicine and shamanic healing, which go together. And now he's got a new book called The Wisdom Wheel, A Mythic Journey Through Four Directions. And we're going to have the best conversation, so listen up. Welcome, Alberto.
Great to be with you, Mark.
Well, you're in Chile. I'm in Massachusetts. It's really pretty awesome. And you have been such an important part of my life in my own journey and discovery of my own healing through both physical and spiritual channels. And I know that you've written a lot of books, but this new book I think is especially important because you're bridging the gap between ancient wisdom of the shamanic traditions of the ancient Incas and the ancient traditions of shamans in South America and even globally, and the modern science that we now know about health and longevity and functional medicine. And as we both kind of move through our careers, you're becoming more of a functional medicine doctor, and I'm becoming more of a shaman, and we're kind of meeting in the middle.
Yeah, that's a big middle space that we're meeting in, Mark. And you know, for example, now we're looking at Alzheimer's, dementia, heart disease as the diseases of aging, and we're looking at aging as a disease, as an illness, and we're trying to heal the aging process. And that's exactly what the shamans do, except that they begin to see aging as starting the day, the first day of your life,
yeah,
not later in life, so that they only have one illness and one cure. And that's
amazing. Tell us about that. What is that? One illness, one cure?
One illness, one cure. And we have 155,000 different illnesses in Western medicine, and a different cure for each one of these. And the one illness is disconnection from your life purpose, from your community, from your soul's journey, and from nature, especially from nature. And the one cure is that reconnection to nature, to your calling and to spirit. And then that accelerates any kind of intervention that you make.
Yeah, so true. I mean, being belonging is so much part of our human DNA. And it reminds me of this book by E.O. Wilson, who recently died. It was a sociobiologist from Harvard who wrote many books, but one of them was called The Social Conquest of the Earth. And it was about our social nature and our need to be connected to each other in order to survive as an evolutionary part of our DNA. And the individualism of America has really created so much disease, dis-ease, loneliness, disconnection, and isolation. And I don't know if you know this, I'm sure you know this, Alberto, but loneliness is the biggest risk factor for almost all disease and death. And isolation is such a huge disease risk factor. And I remember this one experiment that I read about, which was, it was kind of awful that they did, but they basically took these monkeys that were born at the same time. And one of them got love and attention from its mother and care. And the other one was just sort of isolated and, you know, given a little food under the cage. And the monkey that was isolated got old and decrepit and diseased. And they had exactly the same food, exactly the same environment, except for no love or connection.
Yep, this is it. We not only do we get that love and connection from each other, but we get it from nature, with nature. And nature, we think that nature means the forests and the trees, but for the shamans, nature is also the invisible world. The invisible world that is populated, that's alive. And it's the same quandary that the physicists were facing when they thought that the entire universe was visible and observable. And then they discovered dark matter, which is 95% of everything. And they understood now that 95% of reality is invisible. And for the shamans, this is the same applies to our day-to-day experience of reality. What we call reality that we perceive with the senses is only 5% of what's going on. And the other 95% is natural. It's also natural, but it's invisible. It's part of nature. And our reconnection with the invisible world, whether it be the inner world that we access through meditation or the outer invisible world, what we call the quantum field, the energy field that we're all part of, is an essential part of our reconnection. And that's what restores health with, you know, from the perspective of the shamans that I work with, because they differentiate between information and wisdom. Information is data. Information is knowing water is H2O. Wisdom is being able to make it rain. Information is having a diagnosis. Wisdom is being able to heal. It's empowering. It allows you to dream your world, your health into being, and not just have more data points.
Yeah, it's powerful. And you know, you kind of came upon this. You were an anthropologist and you went to study these cultures, but you very quickly became aware that there was a lot more there than just some archaic, you know, historical relic, but that there was really living wisdom and living traditions that we need in our culture to heal us. And your work has been really a lot about that. And you know, I'd love it if you sort of tell us, you know, because a shaman sounds like, you know, in people's mind, you know, rattles and feathers and like, you know, chanting, and it's kind of like, kind of almost like bloodletting or some ancient stupid thing that yeah. primitive people did that really isn't very relevant to us today. But in fact, it very much is. And I just want to share a story. And it may sound a little crazy to people because, you know, it even kind of astounded me. But I think you remember when I came back from Haiti, and I was working in Haiti during the earthquake. And then I went back a number of times. And I came back from one of the trips and you were at my house. And I said, Alberto, I don't know what's going on, but I don't feel right. I have no energy. I feel completely depleted. I feel like something's really off. I've never felt like this in my life. And using your tools and your way of seeing and this ancient technologies from the shamans, you were able to sort of tell me what was wrong. And do you remember that? Do you remember what you said? Do you remember what you found? Do you remember? Can you share that story? If you don't remember, I'll tell you. Okay. So tell me what was your end of the story? Because it really profoundly woke me up to a different realm of healing and a different way of understanding the world.
Well, what happened is that you had brought back someone from Haiti, an undocumented alien, but in the invisible world, you had this little boy that had died, yeah. in, you know, perhaps in an operating room or as part of the terrible earthquake, had accompanied you, had come back with you. You know, this happens with very compassionate people, that they'll pick up these stragglers that they bring home in the same way they bring it home a stray dog. And this little boy that didn't know that it was dead had attached himself to you. And when I tracked for you and I saw this spirit of this little boy there, I had to help him to cross over into the world of spirit. And then he left your field and he was no yeah. longer feeding on you and attached to you and wanting his mother. So he found peace and you did too. I remember at that point your mood changed.
Totally. It wasn't just my mood. It's as dramatic for me as having a severe migraine headache 1 minute and the next minute not having a headache. And yeah. and my whole energy shifted, my brain shifted, my body shifted. I was sort of shocked because, you know, I love you and I love what you do. And I, you know, had many journeys with you. But, you know, I was like, okay, this is cool, but like I don't know, really get it. And I've never yeah. really experienced it. And I don't know. It sounds kind of weird, but I got like, okay, I'll go along with it. But then I experienced it myself and I was like, holy cow. And you really track this in my body and you use these ancient techniques of seeing and healing to actually heal me. And I, you know, it sort of reminded me of, you know, also how we heal in community. And I yeah. remember being in Nepal when I was in my 20s, I was in a medical expedition with Johns Hopkins looking at public health research in this village. And after we sort of did our work during the day, at night, I would sort of go up and hear about these shamans, they call them Dami Jankris in Nepal. And I heard there was going to be a healing ceremony. So I went up and I just sat there and there was the entire village gathered around the sick person. And then they had the shaman there doing the work on this person, but the healing was done in community. And I, you know, the same thing in Native American tribes, when someone is sick, it's a community problem. When someone has a rift in a relationship, they heal it in community. And we've just become so isolated and, you know, maybe we go to our therapist, but we really, you know, have to understand these traditions have so much to offer us. And this is really why you wrote the book, The Wisdom Wheel, a mythic journey through the four directions. So tell us a little bit more about what is a shaman. And tell us about the first time you entered the Amazon and how you embarked on your own shamanic journey. And so take us back to that time so you're being that kind of give people a sense of what this is.
You know, the shaman mediates between the visible and the invisible world, but they were the first nutritionist. They were the first herbalist. The Amazon is nature's pharmacy. But it's also, these are all of the different plant foods that heal. This is healing through your food, through your plants, through your plant, primarily a plant-based medicine. And they understood the plants that exercised death from you. I remember when I was in my mid-30s.
Exorcised.
Yeah. You heal the death that lives within you. So in my early 30s, I was with the shamans in the Amazon, and this woman is shaking her rattle and looking at me and saying, Alberto, the death is very strong within you. I was hoping she'd say, hey, the life force is really strong within you. She said, no, the death is. And we have to get the death out of you. And I said, sure, do it right away. How do you do that? He said, well, you eat these particular plants. Now, these are plants that are rich in polyphenols. And what she was talking about was what we today call senescent cells, the zombie cells in your body. So here's one of the crossovers with the ancient medicine. So of course we get rid of senescent cells with quercetin and fisetin, but these are the same polyphenols that she was using to get my body to eliminate these cells that are neither living nor dead, but are still producing, you know, toxic signals and eventually lead to cancer. So the basis of the medicine of the shamans is that if you create, and I've heard you say this so many times as well, create the conditions for health and disease goes away. And the shamans who can maintain the health of the village, because they see sickness as happening to a community, but manifesting through one person, through the individual. In the same way that family therapists see that there's an issue in the family, but the identified patient is a child usually, and they want to fix the child instead of fixing the whole family. So illness happens to an entire community, and in this case, to an entire humanity that we're seeing, but it's manifesting through an individual. And you have to heal the entire community, the entire village, the entire ecosystem, because the understanding is that as the fate of the earth goes, so goes the fate of you and I, of each one of us. And we cannot be healed if the earth is not healed, if our ecosystem, if our garden is not vibrant, we're not going to be vibrant, so that we're interconnected with each other. And today we know that we have, like electrons do, we have a particle state and a field state. And this is the particle state, which is separate, but the field state interconnects us with each other and with everything. We truly are one in our energy field state. And and I asked one time one of the shamans, well, what is this energy field state? And he said to me, it's who you are after you die. It's who you were before you were born. It's going to be your luminous body, your luminous energy field that keeps creating physical bodies from lifetime to lifetime. And then I said, okay, I want to learn about this stuff. Teach me about it. And after a few months of training, I asked the same shaman, what's with all of this teaching about the invisible world? What's the object, the purpose of it? And he said to me, the object to all of this learning is to discover how to get out of this life alive. And I said, wow, sign me up. And so I didn't believe in light, you know, in reincarnation. I didn't believe in any of this stuff. You know, I trained in psychology and anthropology, and I directed a little laboratory at San Francisco State where we were looking at the brain and how to create health. And so I wasn't into any of this reincarnation stuff. And he said to me, well, why don't you go ahead and cover your bases anyway, just in case, case, you know, what's the risk of not learning about this? Yes. And I went, okay. Yeah. And then that's when I started becoming not only a shaman, not only an anthropologist, but a shaman. And today, I always used to hide that You know, I was saying, I'm a medical anthropologist. And today I tell people I'm a shaman. I'm a modern shaman. And by the way, it's Dr. Shaman.
It's so funny because we teach together, and it's so funny because we now sort of almost, I talk about the more of the subtle energy fields and healing and in my work and just ways of accessing that. And you talk about mitochondria and the science, and I kind of laugh. It's just, it's like all the worlds intersect. I think there's a book by Fritjof Capra years ago called The Tao of Physics, really about the, how the sort of the mystical world and the scientific world are really the same. And it's true. There's also the Tao of biology. And that's essentially what we're talking about is the sort of the mystical realms of human creation. And Einstein said, I don't want to know the spectrum of this or that element. I want to know the thoughts of God, and the rest are details. And so in a sense, we're looking to the mind of God. How are we designed? How are we intersecting with the plants and the environment around us? And you know, I just finished researching my book and writing my book, Young Forever. And I was sort of just blown away by the ways in which these plant compounds interact with our biology to activate longevity switches. I mean, how do they know? Like, how? Like, it's like, wait a minute. And I just like, wait a minute. How does this work? It's like, we know, okay, you need vitamins and minerals and stuff, but actually we need all these plant compounds called phytochemicals, and there's 25,000 of them, to activate different parts of our healing systems. And that's what you teach, and that's a lot of the work that you do.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, our friend Dean Ornish did the science of how these polyphenols and plant phytonutrients switch on the genes that create health and silence more than 500 genes that create heart disease and breast cancer and dementia. Amazing. And you asked the shamans, how did you know that these plants that they call the sacred plants, not the teacher plants, the teacher plants are the psychedelics, but the sacred plants are the ones that are the epigenetic modifiers, the ones that create health and silence the genetics of disease. And I asked them, how did you know that these plants did that? And they said, well, the plants told us. The plants told us. The plants told us, stupid. You know, like, don't you talk to the plants, Alberto? And there's a story that I love, which is the when the conquistadors arrived in Peru, they met with the Inca, with the ruler, who was a shaman. He was a divine being. And the priest gave him the Bible and said, this is the word of God. And the Inca took the Bible and put it to his ear, and he listened and he listened. And he threw it on the ground, and he said, what kind of God is this that does not speak? When did your God last talk to you? And the priest said, well, you know, 1,500 years ago. And he asked the Inca, when did your God last speak with you? And the Inca said, this morning at breakfast. So they still speak to the rivers and the trees and the plants and the animals, and the rivers and the trees and God and the plants and the animals speak to them like they did to us when we lived in paradise. Before That's we incredible. Were kicked out of the Garden of Eden. And we are the only people in the planet. We are Westerners are the only people in the planet to have ever been kicked out of the Garden of Eden. Nobody else was. Everybody else was given, you know, the Buddhists and the Native Americans and sub-Saharan Africans were given the garden to be the stewards and the caretakers of the garden and to speak to the rivers and the trees and the animals. And particularly the animals, because the animals were sacred. The word animal comes from anima, from that word, that Latin and Greek word for the soul. They are the soul of Gaia, of the mother. So they live in us. The shaman lives in a world that is animated, that is animistic, whereas we live in an inanimate world. We can barely talk to each other, much less to the animals and to the trees.
It's true. Incredible. Hey, everyone. It's Dr. Mark. Now, a few years ago, I went through the worst health crisis of my life. And as a key part of my recovery, I had to revitalize my gut, which meant encouraging the growth of a specific good bacteria called Akkermansia mucinophilia. Yep, that's a mouthful. But it's essentially the bacteria that keeps the mucus layer in your gut and protects from leaky gut. Now, back when I went through my healing journey, I kind of had to be creative and I used lots of different ingredients to support the right kind of growth in my gut of acromantia. But now it's easier than ever to up your acromantia thanks to Pendulum Therapeutics. They've done something nobody else could do because they're the first and only company to offer products that directly contain Acromantia mucinophilia. Now, Acromantia is the bacterial strain known for strengthening and regulating the gut lining and is also one of the most important determinants of maintaining your long-term health, your weight, your metabolism, and so many other factors. Increasing the acromantia in my gut has such a big payoff for my health, and I've become a real super fan. If you want to try it for yourself, Pendulum is offering my listeners 20% off their first month of acromantia subscription with the code Hyman. Just head over to pendulumlife.com to check it out. That's PENDULUM life.com with the code Hyman for 20% off. Now let's get back to this week's episode of The Doctor's Pharmacy. Well, I want to sort of take us back a little bit to how we use all this, because, you know, not all of us are going to get to go to the Amazon and work with plants and shamans in the middle of the jungle in Peru. But you say that, you know, by learning about this ancient shamanic wisdom, we can heal disease, we can eliminate suffering, grow a new body. You say that we can grow new bodies that resist disease, heal quickly, and age really differently through modern day shamanic rituals. So what are those rituals? What are those practices? And how, in the wisdom wheel, you talk about them. Can you share just a little bit more about them?
Yeah, I go into depth about these in the wisdom wheel. But for example, our ancient brain, our limbic brain, our mammalian brain that we share with all the mammals, this brain needs ceremony and ritual in order to change. So you cannot change your mind until you change your brain. And this brain requires a rite of passage. That's why we have ritual and rites of passage in every culture in the world. They knew that in order to have profound change, you needed to have a rite of passage with a community witnessing it. And that's when the brain changes. But you also needed to have the neurotransmitters in order to be able to change your brain. Let me give you an example of these. Serotonin. I mean, serotonin, we know 85, 90% of it is produced in the gut. And this is a neurotransmitter that we call the happy molecule. And that your brain, your pineal gland, turns into melatonin so you can rest and sleep. And if you don't rest and sleep, you're not going to heal. You're not going to age well. You're going to die young and with dementia. So we're serotonin depleted, deprived in our culture because our guts are broken. So the very first nature that we need to connect with, an ecosystem, it's inside your gut. And we know that. We know that we begin with repairing the gut. In the programs that we teach together, we begin with the gut. This is the forest, the ecosystem. And then when you provide the brain with serotonin, you're able to switch on the higher brain. Because the brain, the pineal gland, will methylate serotonin, which is a tryptamine, and add two methyl bonds to it and turn it into dimethyltryptamine, which is DMT, which is ayahuasca, the most powerful psychedelic known to humans.
They call it the God molecule, right?
Absolutely, yeah. And this is why...
It actually is what happens when we're born and when we die, our brain releases this molecule.
Absolutely. And when we make love. don't forget that. And when we dream, that's why when you're dreaming, you can have the most amazing dream in the world. And while you're dreaming and it looks perfectly natural. It's like a couple of nights ago, I dreamt with my dad, and my dad had passed away 35 years ago. And in the dream, he was younger than I am. And in the dream, it felt perfectly normal. I didn't go, wow, that's really weird. That's because the brain is producing tryptamines. And these are the bliss molecules that allow you to create psychosomatic health and not psychosomatic disease. Because for us today as modern shamans, all disease is psychosomatic. And psychosomatic means psyche and soma. The body and the soul, the body and consciousness working together to create health. So that's kind of in a nutshell the basis of what this book is about, and what the teaching of the sages of the indigenous peoples is about.
It's so amazing, Alberto, because, you know, when I went to medical school, psychosomatic was a pejorative word. It was like, oh, it's in your head. We used to have a really terrible thing we used to say as doctors called it supertentorial, meaning it means there's this thing in your brain called the tentorium, which separates your, you know, lower and upper brain. And basically it means it's in your head, up your brain. It's all psychological. It's not really real. It's not a real medical condition. But actually the opposite is true, that our brain and our soul and our mind are all connected to our body, and in ways that are now understandable, replicable. We can examine these through very, very sophisticated functional MRI imaging testing, and we know the biochemistry of what's going on with our biology when we're in relationship, when we're happy, when we're not happy, and it's not this abstract phenomenon. And it's quite amazing to see even this whole idea of sociogenomics, which I actually came up with this word as a result of my work in Haiti, that our social connections, our social relationships are actually what drives our gene expression, drives our health, you know, and we thought that, for example, chronic disease is, we call it NCD, non-communicable disease, but it's highly contagious. It's not infectious, but, you know, we know that if your friend's overweight, you're more likely to be overweight than if your family's overweight. And we know that our social connections and our social threads are more important than the genetic threads in determining our health. And we can actually now measure this. And if you Google on PubMed, which is the National Library of Medicine, and put in the sociogenomics, you can see that there's enormous amount of science about this now. It's how you can create inflammatory genes by having inflamed relationships. You can actually heal your body through having healing relationships, that, you know, cuddling actually improves your epigenetic expression.
Even if it's with your dog, even if it's cuddling with your pet, and you know, this is the part of the problem is that today we have taken nature and domesticated it, and we have pets, and we have, and what the shamans have, they have power animals, but they're in the invisible world, which to them it's as visible and as engageable as the visible world is for us. And this is part of our reconnecting to nature, is reconnecting to that invisible realm. I'll tell you a story. I was in the Amazon one time, deep in the Amazon, working with the shamans, because I wanted to learn the plant medicine. And early on in my research, I was funded by pharma, because the Amazon is nature's pharmacy, and big pharma wanted to discover the next cure for cancer. And the problem was, after months of research in backwaters of the Amazon and villages that had never seen a light-skinned person before, and the kids, when I got there, the kids would run up to me and they would rub my hand to see if the white dirt would rub off. Mm-hmm. And and after months of spending time with them, I came back to my handlers, and they asked me, what did you find? What root? What bark? What leaf? I said, none, because these people have no cancer, no dementia, and no heart disease. Zero or minimal. Until they begin to eat like us and live like us, then they get sick like us and begin to die like we do. But when I was there, I was telling people about the shamans telling them about bugs and the bad bugs that you don't want to have, the bad bacteria that are invisible to us. And they said, oh, you mean like spirits? And I go, no, I mean like bacteria. And they said, no, we can't see it. That stuff doesn't exist. You're making it up, Alberto. They're spirits. So the 2 months later, I went back and I took one of the laboratory microscopes with me. And as soon as I got there, I took a drop of rainwater, put it in a slide, put it in the microscope, and called the people in the village and said, look. And they go, oh my God, this is a world. It's like when you first go scuba diving or diving in the ocean, you see this whole world down there. They went, wow, and these things are alive. I go, yeah, they're the invisible beings I was telling you about. The problem is that we don't have the microscopes to look into the invisible world. We do have them, but they're not legal in the United States. And these are the teacher plants. These are the ayahuasca, the psilocybin, the the peyote. These are the sacred plants of the ancients that you find in every culture that give you a glimpse into this invisible world. Now, you don't need to use the plants because the brain produces these chemicals endogenously. You just need to have a practice that will get you there. And that practice is called meditation.
Yeah, what is that?
That's meditation. It's stilling the mind. It's quieting the mind so you can experience that expansiveness of communion with all life. And then you understand that the cosmos is living, that the cosmos itself is conscious. And you go, okay. And if you spend a little bit more time in dose and doing that kind of research, and it's a kind of science, a spiritual science, and we're capable of doing that, uniquely so. And I'm sure you know this, Mark, but there, out of the 40 million species in the planet, there are only three of them that don't have a death program in their DNA.
Really?
Every other species has a death program. 39.99 million of them die when they're no longer reproductively viable. When the female can't have babies, she's eliminated in nature. There's no menopause in nature. There's no grandmothers in nature, not for very long. But three species, humans, orcas, whales, and dolphins, don't have a death program. And these are the three species that have the biggest brain to body weight ratio. They have grandmothers. Grandmother orcas teach the young how to communicate and how to hunt. And the human grandmothers used to teach us how to become civil and educated. And we're taking part in an experiment in longevity. Nature selected the three of us. And remember, biology's experimenting all the time. And we've been selected to take part in an experiment in intelligence. And intelligence is what the ancients called spirituality.
I don't know how we're doing. I don't think we're doing that great, Alfred.
We're not doing well. No, we're failing. But intelligence is what the ancients called spirituality, not religion. Religion is different. Spirituality is about exploration. It's about epigenetics. Yeah. It's about growing a new body. It's about becoming a new human that's appearing in the planet today. And that the shamans call homo luminous, no longer homo sapiens, but homo luminous. Well, you know, we're living in the fifth extinction event in the Earth since the dawn of life in the planet. There have been five extinction events. The previous one was 65 million years ago when a gigantic asteroid hit the Earth and eliminated most life forms. And during extinction events, nature, Mother Nature, takes her foot off of the brake and steps on the evolutionary accelerator. Huge, rapid, accelerated development. Evolution ceases to be guided by the laws of Newtonian physics and begins to be guided by the laws of quantum physics. Biologists call it quantum speciation, suddenly appearing, new species appearing very rapidly. So in normal times, evolution happened in between generations. Your children would be smarter or better looking than you were. But during quantum evolution times, evolution is so accelerated, it happens within generations. It's you and I. We're taking part in an experiment in evolution and in longevity, but it requires wisdom. It's driven by consciousness. It's driven by intelligence. It's driven by spirituality, by an experience of communion with the divine, with the cosmos, that experience of oneness.
So how do people get that? Because people, I can imagine listening going, well, that sounds really great. And I kind of buy it, but how do I personally figure this out for myself? Because I'm not a shaman and I'm not in the Amazon. I'm kind of living my life and trying to make best with what I've got. How do people actually start to incorporate the principles of what you're talking into their daily life?
Well, to do that, you need to upgrade your brain. You need to step up to the higher brain, not to that limbic brain that's territorial, that's looking. You meet someone and you're looking at them as a possible partner, date, or as an enemy or an adversary. You need to step up to the higher brain that runs in a different kind of fuel. It runs on fats, and not on sugars. It needs a beta-hydroxybutyrate, one of the ketones, to operate. And it needs the neurotransmitters that are produced by your gut flora. It comes back to the work that you do, Mark, which I love. I love how you have taken us through this jungle of what the hell do I eat? And it goes to your gut. You got to support your gut, restore your gut, produce the serotonin, the neurotransmitter, so you can sleep, rest, and create the bliss molecules and have that experience of oneness. You don't need to go to the Amazon. You just need to repair your gut and change what you eat and begin to become that new human, that homo luminous that has been prophesied by all of the shamanic cultures. And we get to take part in that experiment, and we get to be the ones that we've been waiting for.
It sounds like there's a great number of us out there who are trying to push this story out there, to tell the story of how we awaken, how we heal, how we repair. And at the same time, we see around us such darkness. We see, the regression of civil rights, of human rights. I think when I was 30 or 40 years ago, 70% of the world live in democracy. Now it's 30% of the world. And we're seeming to see the same time of the rise of consciousness, a decline in consciousness and fear and isolationism and nationalism. And it's a little scary. And I kind of see this in our own country and in America. And I think, it makes me nervous, and I feel it register in my nervous system. And I wonder what's the antidote to that for people?
Yeah. Shamans don't have an antidote to that, unfortunately. I wish we did. And the whole political system is corrupt. They say that we are living in the time of the great upheaval of the Kali Yuga, of the Pachacuti, they call it in the Andes, when the gates of hell have been flung open and all of these critters are now in government and running the show and strife and violence. But the beauty of it is that the gates of heaven have also been flung open. And we have the opportunity to embody that wisdom, become that new human, and witness the old human dying out, dying off. And we have to do what we can to alleviate suffering and to communicate the message that you are what you eat, that you can live sustainably in the world, that you can, but it's up to each one of us to make that choice to. And right now we are in the fifth extinction event. It began about 10, 15 years ago. There are more species disappearing in the planet today than in any other previous extinction event. So we have to do that exercise of that experiment of N is equal to one, where you have to be part of that experiment and becoming homo luminous. And my experiment of N is equal to one is called Alberto. Yours is called Mark. And if you don't do the experiment, guess what? You get to be in the control group. And the control group is the statistics, the 35% of people that die of cancer, of the dementias, that if you live to be 85, and you will, you have a 50% risk of diagnosable Alzheimer's. At the age of 90, the risk is 75%, and we're all going to live to be 100. So we're living in the midst of an extinction event, and we have to accept that there's going to be die-off, there's going to be massive upheaval and resettlement, and this is part of the process we're in that was avoidable. But we've damaged the planet so badly that we're now in the renewal, in the process of the great upheaval. And that's just what's happening. We have to try to make a difference in every way we can.
Absolutely. You're doing the work. I'm doing it. I mean, the Four Wind Society and your work of training healers and getting the word out and helping kind of spread, positive light, helping people sort of wake up to who they are, help them reprogram their biological software, which is what I learned, this amazing concept I learned from you, that we can literally upgrade our biological software just like a computer and have it run better by changing how we live, what we eat, our relationships, our movement, our connections, our nutrient intake, phytochemicals, all these things are ways to upgrade our biological software. And at the same time, you know, like we're in this beautiful time of science advancing and our understanding of how to extend life and how to improve our biology and heal our minds, and particularly the psychedelic kind of renaissance that's happening now about healing trauma. And I want to talk about that in a minute. And at the same time, we're in the kind of worst of times. And I literally ended my book, Young Forever, with a quote from Charles Dickens. It was the worst of times. It was the best of times. And I both have hope and I both am sort of disheartened by what I see. And I'm living this sort of dichotomous framework of life where I both feel very excited and hopeful, but I'm also like, see what's happening in this country with riots now, you know, and I just like, wow, you know, it's kind of nuts.
Let me give you a personal experience. For example, I remember in my 40s, I could barely do 15 push-ups. Man, it was hard. And now I do 100 push-ups. Yeah, I'm transforming my body. I'm in better shape today. I'm 73. I just came back from climbing the mountains in the Andes, hiking up to 16,000 feet. So we can grow a new body. We can become part of that experiment. We can take that quantum leap and do what we can to help others. But the shamans say you have to do it at four different levels. At the physical level of what you eat, of how you interact socially. They call that the level of serpent. And then you have to do the work of jaguar, the level of jaguar. And it's helpful to think about these as Russian nesting dolls, that the higher levels inform the inner ones. The level of jaguar is the mind. And you've got to find inner peace in the mind. You've got to find love. You've got to give love, share love. You've got to love yourself. And this is where trauma occurs, at the level of jaguar and the level of the mind. And you have to heal not only your personal trauma, but we know from epigenetics that the trauma your grandmother experienced is playing out in your life today. This, the Native Americans called it the seven-generation effect, that it lasts for seven generations. And it's in the body. The body keeps score. The trauma from surgeries. We know that if you have a C-section, for example, that the body cannot tell the difference between the knife of the surgeon and the knife of the mugger, even though you may be anesthetized. There's trauma in the body. So we need to heal from trauma. You need to do the jaguar medicine. And this is what the shamans excelled at. And then you need to do the hummingbird work. Hummingbird is the archetype of the hero's journey. The hummingbird is the one that drinks only from the nectar of life. And Mark, I spent so many years in psychotherapy working on myself, on my craft, that I couldn't do the hummingbird medicine, because the shamans say, hey, Alberto, it's okay to have some weeds in your garden, plant fruit trees. They used to call me a weeder. They would say to me, you're a weeder. We're gardeners, but you're a weeder. Your garden is weed free, but nothing grows in it. So I was so used to working on my stuff that even my hummingbird on the way to the flowers would stop by the dung pile. And now we have to learn to really, you know, choose our friendships, choose our relationships with and be involved with people that nurture our soul and drink only.
That's the hummingbird work. Yeah.
Hummingbirds migrate from Brazil to Canada. So they go on the epic journey. They're not even designed for flight, but they represent that hero's journey, going, saying yes to your calling. What did you come here to do besides to be in therapy and be successful? What gives meaning and purpose to your life? What did you come here to give? You got to find a map that's a sacred map and not only a professional map or a success map or an achievement map. What's your sacred journey about? And when you discover that, then that has a cascade effect to the lower levels, and it begins to inform your mental health and your physical health. Wow, that hummingbird medicine is important. But let me go back to the jaguar, because I keep my jaguar.
Is there four medicines? There's jaguar, hummingbird, There's four. You said four, right?
Yeah. Serpent, jaguar, hummingbird, and then eagle. Eagle is the energy medicine. So eagle is about awakening your vision. So eagles have no obstacles. They simply fly higher. They realize that whatever you see in the world is a reflection of an inner map, that everything you perceive is a projection of a map of reality that you have. And if you could change that map, your reality changes, which means that at the lower level, that we're projecting onto the world our own negativity, our own shadow sides, and we have to own them. And at a higher level, it means that whatever you are perceiving is your projection, and you can perceive beauty. You can dream the world into being with beauty. And this is the very high level shaman work. And it's the energetics, so that you can heal the energy field, that you can heal that we're energy beings, that you got to begin with your mitochondria, that your mitochondria are your not only your energy factories, but they control the death clock. And you got to restore and repair your mitochondria, that you got to restore and repair your field, and that you have not only the particle state that we all know, but the field state, the energy field state. And that's where the work becomes really a lot of fun.
Yeah. So then you've got the serpent. Talk about the eagle, the jaguar, the hummingbird. Tell us about the serpent.
Well, the serpent is the body, is your nutrition, is what you eat, what you put in your plate. It's how you can, this is absolutely essential. And I love the work, how you have brought such awareness, Mark, to the conscious choices that we make, and how what you put at the end of your fork will create health or disease. And this is the most fundamental. And today I go into Whole Foods and I see all these beautiful, beautiful foods that are coming from depleted soils and that don't have the micronutrients or the minerals that the body needs to regenerate. So the very foundational is what you eat, what's in your food.
It's so powerful. So these four archetypes are such beautiful ways of thinking about healing across the dimensions of being human. And I just love it as a framework. And it really is a shamanic framework. And it's just so helpful for us today because we're so disorganized about our thinking about how we need to navigate this world, how we need to create healing for ourselves. I want to sort of loop back to the jaguar medicine because we're right now experiencing this psychedelic renaissance. And I literally just met this man who was the CEO of Sandoz, which is a big pharma company that's a European pharma company that was actually the company that discovered LSD. One of the scientists there discovered LSD. And he now is going to be the chairman of MAPS, which is the Multidisciplinary Association for Psychedelic Studies. In other words, it's a scientific group that is looking in rigorous ways at the use of psychedelic medicine for healing trauma, PTSD, depression, for death, going through the process of dying, for healing all kinds of sexual trauma, everything from iboga to ayahuasca to psilocybin to MDMA to what they call the toad or 5-MeO. And there's just so many of these kinds of medicines. And you've been doing this work for so long, and I've done this work with you, and it's been so helpful for me. And I think people are kind of maybe scared a bit, wondering about it. But I just met this man this weekend whose family, he was a Hungarian Jew, and 150 of his family members died in the Holocaust. He says, I know every one of their names. I know every one of their names in Hebrew. And I live in a constant state of trauma, of fear and anxiety and PTSD. And he's meant to adapt, but his biology is registering this. And I see it. He's like, I've never really talked about this. You're the first person I've told this to. And I'm like, wow. And I think that the traumas that we have either from this life or ancestral life are actually real. And now we're understanding them. There was a beautiful article in Scientific American that talked about the biology of trauma that happens in past generations from Holocaust survivors and now from the 9/11 women who are pregnant during 9/11 and their babies and offspring and what they experience, and they're able to measure changes in cortisol and receptor function for trauma and stress responses. And it's like, now we're understanding that actually this is not just psychological, but biological. So can you talk us through how some of these plant medicines and these compounds from the ancient world that have been used for thousands of years in these cultures can be now brought into our psychiatric world and our emotional healing as well?
Yeah, first let me tell you the plus is that these plant medicines are extraordinary. They rewire the brain. They repair the damage that's been caused by trauma. Now, all of these plants work on the serotonin receptor, on the serotonin 1 receptor. So the problem with the Western use of these plants is that we're trying to put them into a Western medical psychological context. And we're forgetting about the sacred. We're forgetting about the element of the sacred. And the second one is that we're not doing, when I was in the Amazon, for example, working with the shamans with the plant medicine, they would have me do a dieta, a diet. And when I looked at what the diet was, it was supplying the brain with the raw building blocks to repair the hippocampus. We know that the hippocampus, which is where you store memories, you have new experiences. The hippocampus is what allows you to wake up in the morning with a person you've been married to for 40 years and go, wow, who is this wonderful being I'm waking up with? And if your hippocampus is damaged, you're going to wake up and go, who is this person in my bed? Get him out of here. You cannot have a new experience. So what the dieta of the shamans did was to repair the hippocampus with serotonin, with the DHA, with blueberries, with the plants that we know repair the hippocampus in 6 weeks. So this is and we know that. We know that DHA, breast milk, for example, is 40% DHA because a baby brain needs it to grow. DHA will trigger the production of brain-derived neurotrophic factors that increase your production of neurons. We have stem cells in the hippocampus that every day manufacture around 1,500 neurons. If you step on the accelerator, you can manufacture many more because we have stem cells there. You switch on the production of stem cells and repair the hippocampus. And then you've repaired the hardware to run the new software that's being offered to you by these plants. So the fallacy is that we're looking at these plants as chemicals and we're not including the context that we need to maximize their possibilities. But still we're getting tremendous benefits and they will be approved very shortly for PTSD, for a number of treatment of a number of diseases.
What you're saying just kind of blew me away, Alberto. I'm sorry to interrupt, but I had an insight when you were talking that I've never had before, which was that these compounds, I always thought, opened up your spiritual consciousness, your psychological healing, your spiritual healing. But what you said just made me really aware that the compounds in these plants also heal the structure and the biology of your brain, not just the psychology. So it's like a double benefit. And I'm like, holy cow, this is actually right. Because from a functional medicine perspective, I know that phytochemicals from the food we eat does this. But why wouldn't I think that the phytochemicals in these ancient psychedelic plants also do a rewiring? I have back issues my whole life, and I recently had an injection in my back, and they used ketamine in the injection. I'm like, why are you using ketamine in the injection, which is kind of a psychedelic dissociative drug? And they were like, well, it actually increases the neuroplasticity and neural connections and helps to grow new nerves and heal the nerves. I'm like, wow. And so I think this is really what you're talking about.
Well, this is essential because we cannot separate the biology from the psychology or the spirituality anymore. The sacred plants come from a very feminine shamanic tradition, and we're trying to use them in a very masculine, patriarchal, reductionistic environment. And they still work. They're magical. They're fantastic. but we need to know the biology behind them. And all of these psychedelics are basically working on serotonin receptors. And if you have enough serotonin in your gut to support the repair of the brain structures, then you're going to really get amazing benefits. So you got to also change the diet and not just administer the ketamine or the psilocybin. We got to learn to eat properly. You got to support the body, got to support the brain. But now we can get the same results by increasing the endogenous production of serotonin, but much more slowly than you can, of course, when you give a mega dose of DMT or psilocybin. I was really lucky to have met Albert Hofmann, the discoverer of LSD.
Wow.
And actually, we were in a meeting in Basel 40 years ago, and we were invited to one of the neuroscientist rooms for an experience, and everybody was being offered a mind-altering substance, psilocybin, and we get to Hofmann, and Hofmann says, "I don't do anything stronger than LSD." but the amazing thing, Mark, is that all of these substances, there are receptors in the brain for them. And the reason they're receptors is because the brain manufactures them endogenously. So the shamans say, okay, you had your experience with ayahuasca or with mushrooms. You know the pathways. You rewired the brain for bliss. Now let's support it with your diet. But even more than with your diet, with fasting. So go into a vision quest, support it with your fasting so that you can begin to produce these endogenously. And then you begin to repair your brain, repair your sleep. You'll begin to sleep better. You'll begin to lower your production of cortisol and adrenaline that's produced by the limbic brain, the ancient Neanderthal brain, and you'll be able to create health. And then you create health. Then you take control of your health destiny. And so the important thing was to be sure you didn't get stuck in Jaguar, because eventually Jaguar medicine was designed to take you beyond death to an experience of the death of an old self and the birth of a new self. To me, that's literally the birth of Homo Luminous that'll have even a new body, because you cannot just have a new psychological self without a new biological self. And then you had to bring it to Hummingbird. What's your new life map? What's your new life journey about? I know you and I have been speaking about what's our new life map now that we have done well in our fields and our careers. How do we create a bigger vessel that's more sacred? And then you got to bring it up to Eagle so that you awaken your vision of what you were born to do here in this life. What was your mission, your purpose? And not a lot of ego inflation. This is not about self-aggrandizing. We have too much of that. With deep humility, what is it that you came to be part of? A sacred dream that humanity has the opportunity to dream together at this time of great crisis.
Yeah, it's amazing, Alberto. You know, I have a little bit of a different theory. I mean, all that you said about the four archetypes of animals, the serpent, hummingbird, eagle, and the jaguar are so important as a framework for understanding. It's all in your book, your new book, which I think everybody needs to get. It's really an extraordinary book, The Wisdom Wheel, A Mythic Journey Through the Four Directions. But you know what, I have a little bit of a different framework, because as a doctor, and you mentioned this early on in the podcast, you said fisetin helps to kill the senescent or aging or zombie cells. Now I'm thinking there's no endogenous pathway for strawberries, right? And so my theory is that we co-evolve with these plants, and we use these molecules in our plants to activate different healing systems in our body. And we just need to get back to that. And so, yes, there may be certain things like that are natural receptors for opioids, right? For like morphine or for the endocannabinoid system. We actually name the system after marijuana, you know, cannabis, endocannabinoid system. The opioid receptors, we call them. They're not for opium poppies, right? those are true. But there's so many of these phytochemicals, and we don't naturally, I think, have all these. So there are these these molecules that are in the plant world that now I'm sort of uncovering, and you're uncovering, the science is uncovering about how we actually can, these compounds turn on longevity switches, heal our bodies, heal our brains, repair us. Like fisetin, for example, or quercetin that you mentioned. These are just staples now in my diet and also in my supplement regimen. And so I kind of think, I call it symbiotic phytoadaptation. Like we've co-evolved symbiotically and adapted to eating these plants. And now because our diet sucks, we're not eating these plants. And that's why we see our health degrade, our psychological health, our physical health, our emotional health, our spiritual health, all degrading because we're not eating these plants or taking these plants.
But yeah, let me jump in on that, because polyphenols are part of the phytonutrient. You know, there's a nutrient side, and then we have the polyphenols that are the genetic switchers that begin to flip on the genes for health and silence the genes for disease. The polyphenols are produced by a plant as response to stress or to predators. So it's a defense system. The flavonoids, you know, the quercetin, the fisetin, it's the plants are producing this, and even the psychedelics. So I remember being in the high desert in Peru, working with shamans that work with the San Pedro cactus, and they would stress the cactus, expose it to, you know, don't give it any water to stress it. The minute you stress it, it produces these protective or defensive polyphenols that when we ingest them begin to switch on the genes for health, but also switch on the NRF2 detox pathway. This is the pathway that activates the NRF2 protein that's normally bound to the cell membrane. And when it's that are like the Navy SEALs, and when they're turned on, they migrate from the cell membrane to the nucleus and begin to again flip on the genes for health, the protective genes. You begin to produce glutathione again, superoxide, the antioxidants that the body will shut down at age 35, because this is part of a legacy of a biological program that predestined us to die after reproduction, but that we have overridden with our longevity program with these three species. But it's still operant in us, so we kickstart the production of the antioxidants, of glutathione, superoxide, and suddenly we have this hormetic effect that's dose dependent, where we have this tremendous repair process that's triggered by these plants, and that the shamans identified the ones that, you know, we don't use the strawberries or the quercetins in the Amazon because they have other plants they use, and we don't employ them here because we can't get them at the reliable dosages. But this symbiotic relationship that you talked about with the plants is extraordinary, and we still depend on them to create health.
I do. We don't talk about these essential nutrients, but they really are essential if we want to be healthy.
Yeah, totally. They're not only essential, they're indispensable. We cannot do without them. And if you look at the plants that we have adapted to, like iceberg lettuce, for example, it doesn't taste like anything. Because we've adapted to their phytonutrients, so their polyphenols. But if you look at arugula, we haven't quite adapted to it completely, and it has that beautiful little, you know, tangy taste. So plants that we've adapted to, we call that food. The ones that we are adapting to, we call them spices. But the very high polyphenol content plants are the sacred plants, or the olive oil, for example, that's so rich in the polyphenols and the flavonoids. But yeah, we have to get rid of those zombie cells, because from the shaman's perspective, this is the death that lives within you, and we have to exorcise that death. And today we know how to do it. That's the beauty of it. We know how to get rid of these cells that are wreaking havoc, because their mitochondria are huge, they're bloated, they're producing chemical signals, cytokines, chemokines that are turning nearby cells into senescent cells, and they're wreaking havoc in the body. And we don't know how to measure, we don't know how to measure these zombie cells, but we know how to get rid of them.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it's so true. And your work, your books, I mean, whether it's Growing a New Body or the new book you've written, The Wisdom Wheel, it's a map for how we do this. And my books do the same thing. We come at it a little differently, but we end up in exactly the same place. And Albert, I just want to thank you for your almost 50 years of dedication to this work, for bringing the wisdom of the ancient traditions and of the Amazon and the Incas into an accessible form for most of us, and helping us learn how to start to map our life in a way that creates healing across all of our elements of our life. So thank you for the work you do, Alberto. Everybody listening, make sure you get a copy of The Wisdom Wheel, A Mythic Journey Through the Four Directions. It's out now everywhere you get your books. If you love this podcast, please share it with your friends and family on social media. Leave a comment. Tell us about your journey. How have you awakened these archetypal spirits of these animals in your own life, whether it's the serpent, the jaguar, the hummingbird, what was the last one?
Eagle, the condor. Yeah.
So thank you so much. And a subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And we'll see you next time on The Doctor's Pharmacy. Hey, everybody, it's Dr. Hyman. Thanks for tuning into The Doctor's Pharmacy. I hope you're loving this podcast. It's one of my favorite things to do, and introducing you all the experts that I know and I love and that I've learned so much from. And I want to tell you about something else I'm doing, which is called Mark's Picks. It's my weekly newsletter. And in it, I share my favorite stuff, from foods to supplements to gadgets to tools to enhance your health. It's all the cool stuff that I use and that my team uses to optimize and enhance our health. And I'd love you to sign up for the weekly newsletter. I'll only send it to you once a week on Fridays. Nothing else, I promise. And all you have to do is go to drhyman.com/picks to sign up. That's drhyman.com/picks, P-I-C-K-S, and sign up for the newsletter, and I'll share with you my favorite stuff that I use to enhance my health and get healthier and better and live younger longer.
Hi, everyone. I hope you enjoyed this week's episode. Just a reminder that this podcast is for educational purposes only. This podcast is not a substitute for professional care by a doctor or other qualified medical professional. This podcast is provided on the understanding that it does not constitute medical or other professional advice or services. If you're looking for help in your journey, seek out a qualified medical practitioner. If you're looking for a functional medicine practitioner, you can visit ifm.org and search their Find a Practitioner database. It's important that you have someone in your corner who's trained, who's a licensed healthcare practitioner, and can help you make changes, especially when it comes to your health.